We have come to worship God. We come bringing our stories, our lives, and our whole selves. We come with our faith and our doubts, with our hopes and our fears. We come as we are, invited by God, who will never turn us away. For all are welcome. And we continue in worship by singing a couple of simple and gentle songs, reminding us that we are to first seek God and that we are to trust in the Lord's strength. I invite you to just stay seated while we sing these first two.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. We shall not live by bread alone, but by
welcome to worship, and for this, the first Sunday in the season of Lent. Lent is a reflective time, a time to focus once again on Jesus and on his significance for us as God's people. Today, as you'd read the front of the grapevine, you'll have seen that it was about the testing of Jesus, and that's their focus. But know that that we are all welcome, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching on the TV online at some stage. But we pray that this will be a time of blessing for each of us, and a time when we can step back a little from the busyness and the buzziness of life and focus on what really matters. And I invite you now to stand as you're able to, as we lift the name of Jesus high and sing our next song.
I lift your name on high, Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life, I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad. From heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let us pray. O great and wonderful God, help us today to look to you and to see your immense goodness towards us. We honour you, we praise you, and we thank you for all that you have given to us and others. And we praise you for your gifts of creation, for sunshine and rain, for food to eat and water to drink, for places of shelter and comfort. We rejoice that there is beauty and art and music for us to appreciate. And we also rejoice that there are places of natural wonder to inspire us. Things like the silent vistas of arid deserts, the vivid greens of trees and native scrub and lush rainforests on plains and mountain ranges, and the rolling undulations of pastures and crops that go from dusty brown soil to fresh new green plants and that ripen into golden grain, with sheep and cattle grazing contentedly nearby. And we look at the distant seas that lie off our coasts, and we thank you for the rivers and lakes and reservoirs that transport and hold fresh water for our use and enjoyment. And we also praise you, great God of love, for the cities and towns filled with diverse peoples that call these places home. We're all different, and we're all members of the same human race. Almighty and everlasting God, we rejoice and thank you for one another. Help us, we pray, to appreciate the countless blessings that we are to one another. And help us never to forget that we are here because you have created us to live and work and move and have our being as people who are called to honour and praise you constantly. In the name of Christ we pray, And all God's people said, Amen. If you've had a moment to read the grapevine, you will see that there are the usual regular activities happening in the next couple of weeks. Although I notice on the insert that the men's dinner group for February has already taken place, but it'll be the same date, but it'll be 4 weeks later for the March one. And Friday Friends is on because it's the last Friday of the month, this coming Friday, February the 27th, from 10 to 11:30. And Creative Connections will, as usual, happen on Thursday morning. And Malcolm wants to say something.
Couple of things that I want to share with you, and this will save you asking questions afterwards and me answering them. So many of you are praying for our family, for Lynn in particular. We've seen significant improvement in Lynn just in the last few weeks. She looks different. She's still a lot slimmer than she normally is, but she's walking half an hour every other day, and she's not suffering the same amount of pain, and she's so much better in herself. And this at the moment, she has her elder sister staying with her, Neri. That's a name that you may not know, N-E-R-I. It's a male name in Arabic, and it's a little girl, servant girl's name in the musical, The Desert Song, if you know musicals. But Neri has just come down from Wentworth and has had major surgery on her wrist. She's had to close down her beauty business for 3 months for the healing. And she's in a lot of pain and taking heavy drugs, and it's really, really knocking her around. So thank you so much for the way you support our family so faithfully and lovingly. We really appreciate it, and Lynn appreciates it. And just add Neri to the list, please.
Final notice, just a reminder that a slight change next Sunday is, which is the first Sunday in March, it will not be communion next week. It's put off for a week, and Anna will be doing that. She's actually doing it at Meningi next Sunday, so she'll do it for us the following week. Let's sing another great song of praise about God's faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. In you no shadow of turning we see. You never fail, and your love is unchanging. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have need of your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord God, to me.
Good morning, church family. The reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The temptations and testing of Jesus has much for us to learn on this first Sunday in the church's season of Lent. In our preparation for hearing more about this from Malcolm, let us first come to God with our prayers of confession. And first, a period of silent reflection as we each consider our relationships with others, perhaps with ourselves, and with our God. And let us pray. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you in our thinking, in our speaking, in our actions and inaction, in word and deed. We have not loved ourselves, our neighbours, or you with our whole heart and mind and strength. In your mercy, forgive what we have been and redirect what we shall be, so that we may live fully in your will and walk humbly in your ways, to the glory of your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we read in 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Hear then Christ's word of grace to all of us. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The first part of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness was, if you are who you claim to be, turn these stones into bread. Who did that? Out in the foyer.
There were just spare stones out in the garden.
Oh, right. Let's not be flippant. If you're hungry, And if you are really the Son of God, you don't need to stay hungry. You can do whatever you like and you can produce food like that. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about anything because you are God's child and everything will be okay. Your physical needs will be met. You can indulge in a bit of self-gratification. But Jesus refuses to go down that path. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, hang on, let's get our priorities right. Let's get our priorities right. You know that Bible passage which says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. Just ask. Have you tested that? We test it in many ways. Many ways. When we're ill, when we're in pain, when relationships are strained, when we don't like the minister. And we say in our prayers, Lord, this is what I want. And how often do we get that particular answer? Not often at all. How often do we get an answer? We do get answers, but so often it's totally different from the question we ask. Totally different. And then the evil one takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you're the Son of God, just jump off. The Bible says that the heavenly hordes will come in and sweep you up and you won't have a hair on your head touched. You'll be fine. Go on, over you go. And if you do that and people see the spectacle of your salvation from certain death, you'll have a huge fan club. Because human beings love a spectacle. You've been watching those people on those ski jumps? Now, I was talking to Richard before church. We both used to do gymnastics and coach gymnastics, we learnt this morning. Don't ever ask me to do a backflip, a handspring, or stand on my head and put my arms out like that. I cannot do it no more.
Or wear a leotard.
We like a spectacle. And some preachers really love spectacles. Not this sort. I found when I was reading during the week about some of the televangelists. Kenneth Copeland, you know that name? Mm-hmm. His wealth is reputed to be between $300 and $700 million. He lives in a mansion. He has private jets. And he's not the only one. There's one whose name didn't mean a thing to me, but he's based in Nigeria and he's worth $50 to $70 million. And he has private jets. And you know what? Some of these people get a great deal of wealth from the poor and those who are desperate. It's like buying a lottery ticket. Just the same thing. Buying a lottery ticket and hoping that you'll get rich. The prosperity gospel. And the angel, the evil one says to Jesus, look, just worship me. Just worship me. And you'll be okay. The whole world will be yours. The whole world. Just worship me. Now, if Jesus were an Australian, we would have a fair idea of what he would have said to the evil one. But that's not acceptable language here to the sweet ears of the Vine's congregation. He is saying, be as arrogant as you like. Be as self-indulgent in the power that you wield as you like. Refuse accountability as you like. And you know idolatry's good for you. And this is what the evil one is saying to Jesus. And the devil lost the argument. He left. And we're told that angels, messengers, servants of God, came and ministered to Jesus. Lent is 40 days and 40 nights. Noah was out for 40 days and 40 nights, a place of learning and growth. Elijah fasted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he got a new commission from God. And the Israelites got lost in the wilderness for 40 years before they eventually entered the promised land. And in the 40 days of Lent, we not only reflect on the way Jesus was tempted, but we reflect on the way we are tempted or tested or questioned. You know, there's a protest element in Jesus' responses to his temptations. There's a protest element. Are you prepared to give up all for God, for Jesus, for faith? We are called to question commonly accepted priorities. Oh, it really doesn't matter all that much. That's okay. As long as you don't tell Mum. As long as the elders don't hear, it'll be okay. And Rob's got a smirk on his face. I guess he knows, don't tell Mr. Fudge. One of the essential aspects of the Christian faith is protesting against the norms of the day. Protesting about accepted behaviour which destroys people's lives. And we need to have the courage to protest. And sometimes we need to protest against ourselves and say to ourselves, hey buddy, hey sister, what do you think you're up to? Why are you saying that? Why are you doing that? Would you say that in church on Sunday? Would you do that over the dining table at home? Some of you may remember a minister in South Australia. I think he might even be back again. Owen Roberts. I think he's up in the mid-north somewhere. Owen and I went to a conference in Melbourne back in the 1970s. And it was a conference where the speaker was Paulo Freire from South America, and he was into this liberation theology and the simplicity of life and loving. And there were people there from other denominations as well, and some of them always wore their black shirt, or I shouldn't say black shirts, should I? Their clerical collars. And Owen said to me one day, "Have you ever heard ministers swear like that? Those blokes do?" It was constant. It was constant. And Owen and I needed to deal with that. We needed to talk about it, not to those people, but we needed to deal with it and say, this is affecting us badly. What are we going to do? Because we've got to move on. And some of these people were saying to Paulo Freire, look, it's the life of poverty that we need to take up. And Paulo Freire said, you're joking. You don't have a clue what the life of poverty is. You're middle class white Western. You're just into a fantasy if you think you can live the life of poverty. And here's a man who was a minister who'd been imprisoned. He'd suffered greatly for his faith. He was a man who protested. Not destructively, but he was prepared to take a stand and say, I don't like the way you're speaking. I don't like your politics and the way they hurt people. I don't like your theology, which says, pray for me and put all the money in your pocket into that offering plate and you will prosper. And you go from poverty to destitute very quickly if you believe that kind of rubbish. What do we protest against? We protest against injustice. And the only way we can protest against injustice is to have moral courage. To have the courage to take a moral stand. And to have moral clarity. So that we express our morality, our spirituality, clearly. So that we're not fishing around talking bits and pieces about theology that no one's going to understand, but to have courage to stand up and speak and say something that people will cotton on to. Many years ago, I taught for a week in Port Moresby, and the people in that group were bishops and high school principals of the United Church of Papua New Guinea. They're all Papua New Guineans. And I would start each day with a Bible study. And then I would say, get into groups and tell each other what you learned out of that Bible study. They were the most vigorous Bible studies I've ever been involved in. Some of these blokes almost came to blows. And I could hear someone say, you don't believe that. Yes, of course I believe that. That's what the Bible says. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says it this way. And we did that every morning for a week. And at the end they said, thank you. And I was still intact. If I asked you to go into groups at the end of this time and say to each other, what was the main thing Malcolm said this morning? I bet you all wouldn't say the same thing. Would you? I'd be surprised if you did. And if we take moral courage and we have clarity in our courage, it's about justice, and justice does not take sides. Justice is not about wielding power. Justice calls both Israel and Hamas to stop fooling around and to stop murdering and stop destroying. And justice means that Trump needs to stop saying to people, we're going to make a deal, but if you don't, I'm going to bomb the hell out of you. That's not justice. That's not integrity. That's not following Christ, who was tempted with all of these things and said, You're wanting me to take the worst choice possible. And I refuse. I refuse to make the worst choice possible. And if we're going to be Christians who do protest, who do stand up and speak out, we need to have a plan. We need to be sure of what we're on about. Because if we don't have a plan, we don't have a policy. And with an election coming up, how many of those people wanting to be in government, wanting to be in parliament, have got a plan and a policy? Plans and policies that work together. Now, when you listen to politicians, you learn a lot about the word contradiction. Not all. And so, I don't know how many of you people have ever gone on a retreat, but I've gone on quite a few over the years. Many that I've led, and many where I've been led. And of all those retreats, the result for me has never been the same. I've been challenged in a variety of ways. I think I've told you my grandfather Burns, Scottish Presbyterian, was an Orangeman. And you know the Orangemen, they have a fairly destructive view about Catholics. And one of the first retreats I ever went to was led by a Catholic brother and a Catholic sister. They weren't brothers and sisters, but you know what I mean. And I sat there and I thought, my grandfather would turn in his grave because he's buried in his Orangeman's regalia. But those two Catholic servants of God broke open my faith like no one else has before or since. And they did it with such humility, such gentleness, such truthfulness, and such irresistible power that I can stand here and say to you, if it weren't for some Catholic spiritual advisors, there's a fair chance I wouldn't have been in the ministry today. A very strong chance. I don't want to be a Catholic. I want to be a member of the Uniting Church. But it took those people to break open some of my prejudice, some of my inappropriate theology, some of my stupidity. Did you realise that Christians can be quite stupid? Well, I know some who can. And so when I read this story of the temptations, every time I read it, I go on retreat. This passage takes me to a quiet place and asks me questions and says, okay, now, Malcolm, what are you going to do about this question? What are you going to do about this question? You've heard this question before, Malcolm. Have you got the same answer now as you had 3 years ago? You know, reading the Bible's a pain in the neck at times because it really rocks our boat. It can really rock our boat And we can be like the fishermen saying to Jesus, "Hey, mate, we're sinking and you're asleep." The evil one will meet us and he will ask us questions. And the Holy One will meet us and also ask us questions. And our brothers and sisters in this congregation, some of them will meet us and ask us questions. Do we say, "Oh, that's good. You know, so-and-so was telling me about that. You go and talk to him." And I get off the hook. Or do I take it, face up to it, and say, "Yes, that's a question that I know I have to answer. Will you help me?" Lots of Bible passages take me on retreat, but this one certainly does. And I hope that it might take you on retreat as well. And I have an assurance in my soul that if you eat some of that bread out there, you won't crack a tooth on a chip of stone.
Please remain seated as we sing our next song, as we continue to reflect on our response to what Malcolm has said. This is also our offering song, and I'll invite you to stand as you're able for the last verse as the offerings are brought forward.
Soon dissolve, I say, the sun for there to shine, but God.
Let's give thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for those who question us, the way the scriptures and the spirit question us. We thank you that we are given answers, but not always as we expect. Lord, receive the gifts that we bring, the gratitude we express, and the love that we share, and bless all of this in the ministry of Christ Jesus. Amen.
My prayer is a little different this morning, and I would encourage you to be reflective and thoughtful about the words and where they may touch your heart and your spirit. As we know, for 40 days, Jesus has been alone in the wilderness. Led there by the Spirit, not long before this, he had been baptized in the Jordan, and a voice from heaven had declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And then he was put to the test by the evil one, offering him food after 40 days and night, offering him all the kingdom of the world, but the price: bow down and worship him. Jesus stood firm and responded, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Many times in life, we find ourselves in that wilderness when everything is just too hard and we feel lonely and alone. Today reminds us that Lent is a 40-day solemn season of preparation for Easter, symbolising those 40 days Jesus spent fasting and facing temptation in the desert. It represents a period of reflection, repentance, self-denial, and spiritual growth. As I bring this prayer this morning, I invite you to reflect upon the experience of Jesus, to contemplate what it must have been like for him, and to reflect on those times when your faith has been stronger than the power of your situation. Let us pray. Christ of God, Christ our friend, we pray for this modern world in which faith comes hard, where people find it difficult to raise their eyes above the material things which are so necessary to life. We pray for those who find it hard to believe because they have too many things, and for those who find it hard because they haven't enough. We pray for those who have more to eat than they need, and those who are dying from lack of food. We pray for parents who, because of their poverty and a lack of concern on the parts of others, must watch their children die. We pray for those who suffer from disease, from confusion and guilt, from depression and fear. We pray for those who face each day with dread, because their lives are so dominated by the power of others. We pray for those who are so lonely that life is robbed of all loveliness and hope. And Lord, we pray because our love for you is a love for one whose compassion embraces all human suffering. We pray because you are in our midst and have made people in their need present to us and us aware of them. We pray because you call us as your disciples to be with you in the world. Lord, in this world of mixed and changing values, we ask for others, for each other, and for ourselves, the wisdom to distinguish between the important and the unimportant, the true and the false, the trivial and the eternal. Sometimes we do not know which way to turn. There are many claims upon our time and so many demands for our attention. Life pulls us in many directions and presents many possibilities so that the very range of choices before us can help to confuse rather than clarify. Gracious friend, it is then that we need to remember that we are your beloved children and we cannot make these choices on our own. Through the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we are able to discern your direction for our life. It doesn't always immediately become clear, but we hang on to the knowledge that you never leave us to work these things out on our own. And we do find the right path. Help us to listen for the still, small voice in all the other claims that are made upon us. Because we cannot do everything, help us to get our priorities right, to know what you want us to do now and what we have to leave. And as we seek to be your disciples, help us to see that what we do and what we allow your Spirit to do with everything that happens to us, the foreseen and the unexpected, delights and trials, criticism and praise, good fortune and grief, will shape what we will become. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Before we share the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, take just a few moments to lift up those whom you know are struggling in their wilderness at this time. God knows our needs and answers our prayers in the way that he knows is best. So let us share now the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Before we sing our final song this morning, I remind you that if you would like a prayer, if you would like someone to pray with you for you after the service, then just ask someone sitting nearby or else come forward and someone will be there for to pray with you. I'd also like to thank the team that have been helping out the front or in the TARDIS or making the morning tea, which we'll be able to have shortly. Thank you to all of you. Now, this last song has some excellent words which I encourage you to think about while you're singing. The title of it's actually called God of the Poor, but the first line says, beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. And it's a prayer of hope for our broken world and the new life that God brings, because the risen Christ is with us and changing our sparks into a flame that transforms people's lives. Let's stand as you're able to sing.
Give us
take your sparks and your flame, take your rocks and your bread, take your doubts and your certainty, and take hope and joy and be the people of God. Peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God.